Well, let me say something to follow up about Delaney. Just think about this. You know her. So what a privilege to pray for her. Because she's going to go all over this country. Are you going outside the country?
Possibly.
All right. Outside here of the country. And just think about her personality and who she is, what she represents for our Lord.
Amen.
And you can pray for her because you know her. So just ask, you know, it's a reminder to me too, to pray that when she goes, she's going to be talking to church folks, and right now it's VBS stuff, to do what? To get those teachers excited, to get those churches excited, so that what? Little kids can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we can have a part of that simply by praying. So, Delaney, we're going to commit to do that. Mary and I will do that. And I know this class will do that because we know you, and that makes a difference in that. And I'm going to say it now, and I was going to say it later, but sometimes some things I don't have on my notes, I forget to say. And it's never what I say anyway. I've learned that a long, long, long time ago. It's always what I hope God will say through me that makes the difference. But we're going to talk about service. And, you know, even the littlest things that we do toward the end, we'll talk about service. But everything you do is important. Some of you, when we close out, some of you are collecting books. Picking up hymn books. Some of you are picking up donut money. And some of you are, you're telling me, Ron, I'm praying with the men. I'm in the prayer tower today. Some of you are doing different jobs and different things. And some of you have different ministries here, too. And, well, that's every little thing we do for God is valuable, is important. And don't forget that's really important. One of our newest members here, John McFadden. John, we're glad you're here today. Yes, we are. John is part of our class now, but he's also, he joined last Sunday to our church. You know, you can be a member of Sunday school and not be a member of the church. So we're glad he's a member of the church, member of the Sunday school. And then the reason I'm bringing up service is because last Sunday night, he's going to the same class I am with Dr. Harvey Salganian on Sunday nights. We're going to that Ten Commandments. I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about what I heard last week. Looking forward to it this week. But John's coming up there, and you know, we saved him a seat because after joining the church Sunday morning, he was already out there serving Sunday night, directing people where to go in class. And, you know, that meant a lot to me. Get involved. That's what we want to do. We don't sit back and wait for people, you know, to come to you. Just get involved, and God will use you. You're valuable to God, and God really wants us. He can do it without us, but He really wants us here. Involved in his ministry. Okay. So let me start off with this. I want to mention something that I found this past week in daily Bible reading from Adrian Rogers, who I greatly respect, gone on to be with the Lord, but boy, what a watermark he has left for us.
Amen.
Remember I was telling you about the Bible last week, that during the Christmas season I thought, you know, hearing all those advertisements, well, we're open 24/7 and one-stop shopping. And I told you that the Bible's really bad. Now, we may not have the Bible may not have the exact words that we're looking for, but I'll guarantee you that almost everything we're looking for is found right here in God's Word. I greatly respect God's Word. Greatly respect the Word of God. And I just want us to be encouraged by some of the things that we should know about God's Word. Dr. Rogers reminded us that during what came to be known as the Black Plague of the 14th century, that would be during the 1300s, one out of every four people in Europe died. One out of four, that's 25%. Almost sounds like something that's going to happen in Revelation. Well, be frightful when you read Revelation, unless you're in tune with God, then you don't have to worry, because you have a hope that's founded on the blood of Jesus. But one out of every four people in Europe died, and they didn't know what to do with it. They couldn't control it. They had no concept of microbiology like we do today. Wow, we're so advanced. Remember that little scare we got of Ebola?
Yeah.
You remember that? Mary was in that hospital the week before that Ebola thing came out, right there in that emergency room, having her appendix taken out. Whenever I got a week, or was it a few days? 4 days. Right where that Ebola scare was. Don't think that didn't scare us. Don't think that didn't prompt us to say thank you, Jesus. So, you know, we have stuff today, but they couldn't figure out what had brought on this plague and how to end it. Until they did what? Read the Bible. And somebody said, hey, take a look at Leviticus 13:46. Now, does the word quarantine mean anything to you? It should, maybe not as much today, but back then it helped the Black Plague. Quarantine. Leviticus 13:46 says, as long as he has the infection, he is unclean. He must live alone in a place outside the camp. I'm going to tell you, when we explore God's words, we're just going to find answers to the questions or to the problems or the difficulties that we have in life. All right, one of the things I want to do today, you have this every week. We put together a little thing. Elaine helps me get this. I send this to her, and she does a little editing and put it together. But I want you to take this, because we're going to look at this first before we get into the text going back over it. We're going to take one section at a time. We're talking about Mark 10. First Proverbs 24, 10, 11, and 12, and then Mark 10. We're going to deal with blind Bartimaeus in verses 46, 47, 48, and 49. But get your Bibles out to Proverbs 24. Let's look at verses 10 and 12. And we're going to answer those first three questions where it says, let's explore under Roman numeral 1. I'm fortunate to have some software that gives me some of this stuff here. And so I combine some things together, maybe even ask some questions of my own. But a lot of this comes from the software program I have. And I'm thankful for all those things that encourage me and inspire me and motivate me. So let's look at, we're talking about Proverbs 24, verses 10, 11, and 12. Somebody read verse 10 for us. And then let's answer that question. What does a person's response to hardship reveal? So verse 10.
If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That's King James.
That's okay. 24:10. Yeah, 24:10. What does a person's response to hardship reveal? So what do you think that scripture says there?
You don't have spiritual strength to draw on to give you through whatever the
weather is. Spiritual strength, okay. Is that important to have spiritual strength? Is it important to eat the right foods? Yeah. It's important to eat the right foods to get the nutritional things that we need. All right, number two. Whom did the author encourage his reader to rescue and hold back? Verse 11 of chapter 24 of Proverbs. Somebody read that first, verse 11, Proverbs 24.
Deliver those who are drawn towards death and hold back those stumbling to the fall.
So in answer to two, whom did the author encourage his reader to rescue? Who are we supposed to rescue and who are we supposed to hold back?
Rescue ones that
are going to die. And in most cases, if we understand what the text is saying here, these aren't bad people who are committed to death. These are people who are innocent, basically, and they're basically being slaughtered. Think of our past history. Hitler. What happened in Germany. We can go back to other times as well, but that's just one particular instance when you had people being slaughtered. We could think of children today, little babies being slaughtered. Okay, verse 12, 24 of Proverbs and verse 12. According to what will each person be repaid?
Read verse 12.
Yeah, read verse 12.
If you say that we knew not
something about this. Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done?
Okay. So, so in answer to that, according to what will each person be repaid?
According
to what he's done. To what he's done. Give me a verse for that.
Whatsoever a man sows.
There you go. Yeah, that's Shelley Reed. Whatever a man sows, that's Shelley also reaps. Is that true? Yeah. Okay, here's what I'd like to do, and maybe Mary, maybe you want to join another table for this, or you can stay at where you're at. But here's what I'd like you to do on that next session, the getting it. There are five questions there, and Dwayne, you can stay there, or you might want to join somebody else too. Because here's what I'd like you to do: talk among yourselves those five questions. I'm going to give you just a minute or two, so you need to go fast on this, and talk about what those answers might be. Pick one out that you want your table to answer. And I'm going to ask you to voice those in a moment. So at your table where you're at, take a look at those five. Pick out the one you like or one or two. Some of you may be really advanced and you pick up more than you may have answers to all of them. But we'll toss this around in just a moment. To the getting it part of what we just read in Proverbs 24. All right, let's go. All right, let's try to wrap it up in about 30 more seconds. We're going to ask around the room which table, what question you want to answer. And, you know, you can, at your table, you can answer the same thing, too. All right, let's bring it to a close. And which table would like to go first? Those of you who are still working on it, you can still do that. Just didn't put your pencils down and paper down. Just in one of those. Stephen, yes, what did you...
Okay, I've come up with a... What gives you hope for the future? And my answer would be Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, that's what my youngest son would always say when I ask questions about the Bible. They'd always just say Jesus. So I had to figure out that. I said, son, you're about 99.9% right. That's good. But, you know, let me put it a different way.
Okay.
All right, so that's good. What gives you hope? Anybody else on number one? Any other table with number one? Yes.
Well, we said just like
The thing that gives us hope for the future is the Lord God himself, because he is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And what more could you possibly ask for?
Absolutely. He is the future. He is the future.
Yeah.
And we can settle that today to know where our hope is and know where our future is. Anyone else with a question? Want to answer? Table, at your table. What did you discuss? What do you want to share? It's your opportunity. Okay.
Yeah.
The hope for eternity. Yes, sir. At your table.
This is the Revelation.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 22, verse 20. The one who testifies gives testimony.
Yes, sir.
To these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints. Amen. Amen, so be it.
Yeah.
Amen, it is done.
Amen. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. Yes. All right. Someone else. Thank you, sir. Your table did good, Dwayne.
Proud of the Lord.
Someone else. Want to answer one of those questions? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, the thing is, what sort of people are ended in our society?
Yeah.
Sometimes you see people that are really Bible scholars and know so much about the Bible. But more in our life today, I think people envy more the people that have material things, material wealth, money, or popular.
Yeah.
Look into the what we really share.
Right. Excellent point. Very good. Did y'all hear that? That's an excellent point. And we do. How can that change? Melba, how can we change that? Or you, how can we change that to get people to see what we should focus on? Be an example. Oh, yes. Okay, good.
Like your son said, focus on Jesus.
Focus on Jesus, yes, sir. Yeah. Very good. Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm going to say this right, but I'm not disagreeing, but the sort of people that are envied in our society, I really do believe it's Christian. And I'll tell you why. Because when you look for a mate or a friend, you look for someone that has hope, someone that's not going to bring you down, someone that's going to lift you up, someone that has some moral fiber. So I think even though we're breast deep in sin, and the world looks the other way, when they really look for something permanent, they look for what we have.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, I like that. That's a good point. And I would like to agree with that. You know, and I'd like to think that what people want is somebody that's good. But then as I look around and you see, you know, you can tell. Remember parents, when you tell your little kids, don't touch that. You know, like, don't touch that hot stove. Don't put your finger in that fire. Don't put your finger in that socket, you know. Mary and I can relate to Sebastian when he was a little kid, grandson. Over there by the grandfather clock, you can see him. Excuse me for stepping away here. He'd be standing kind of at that grandfather clock. Mary was saying, and he wanted to open that thing up and hit that thing. And he did it, didn't he, Mary? Oh, that was bad. So he got a little red wagon. And administered by his daddy. Okay. So, a lot of good subjects there. And some of this helps us to think about the Scripture. You know, I would say that most of my study is done on thinking about God. I mean, I understand how that commune with God 24/7. I understand how that's done because it just resonates that way with me. It's just no matter what I'm listening to, what I'm hearing, I may be stuck in there for a while. Kind of like today, the football game. I'll have my youngest son text me the score, because I'll be at church tonight. I'll have to DVR that thing. But once I know the score, if they win, I might go back and watch it. But if they lose, just delete it. So that's been why I'd rather be in God's house, because the value of what you get is so much more than the value you can get from a football game. Right? Am I right? Yeah. So we look at that value, and I think that's where we miss a lot of things in life. And these are here to give you value, not just your Sunday school lesson, but to enhance your week and, you know, even follow up as you prepare for next week's lesson in Judges chapter 2. We go and start into the book of Judges. And then after we finish Judges, we'll get into the book of Ruth. And we'll wrap up this quarter. And then you see at the back of your book, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, which I look forward to. So as we plan and anticipate what's coming up, you know, we can concentrate on that, but we can also take this lesson and let it really soak in so that we can gain insight and make a difference in the world. Okay, let's move from there, not that we won't come back to some more of those questions, but I wanted to draw some attention to that. What I'd like to do right now is I wrote down here 10, 11, and 12 from Proverbs 24, and from two different Bibles that I really like. Because it just put it, I wouldn't have brought it up if it didn't put it a different way, cast a different light on it. You didn't like that take where you were sitting at?
I like it.
Oh, okay. I'm just playing with you. All right, so the New Century Version, which is one that I really love, because it's just so simple. It's written for a child, and that's good for me, because it helps me to grasp and understand God's Word. But let me read. You look at your Bible, or you can listen. But I'm going to read from the New Century Version, Proverbs 24, 10, 11, 12, and then I'm going to read from the Message. Both these are contemporary, or put into some simple language, or different ways of expressing what's going on. So let me read the New Century Version for you, and then we'll get into our Sunday school lesson today. Not that we haven't already, but we'll cover those verses. All right, so the New Century Version, verse 10. If you give up when trouble comes, it shows that you are weak. Let me pause there for a moment. When you give up when trouble comes, it shows that you are weak. What do you think that means? Let me give you a couple of examples. One of them we'll turn to, one of them write down and go back and read it later. 1 Kings chapter 19. Remember Elijah, the one that comes before Elijah with an S? Just think of your alphabet. That's a good clue. Elijah was first. Elijah was second. But Elijah, remember? Who was it that threatened his life? Jezebel? Yeah. So he did what? What did he do? He took off. He ran. Wait a minute. If you give up when trouble comes, it shows that you are weak. Would we say that about Elijah? What did he do? Remember, he traveled, had a companion with him as he traveled, and then he left him behind at Beth somewhere. Forgot. I'll tell you in chapter 19, though. And then he got out there, just him and the Lord, and he said, "Take my life."
Under the juniper tree.
Under the juniper tree, yes, sir. 1 Kings 19. Folks, that's an exciting chapter. Because what it reveals about each of us and our weaknesses and our frailties and our flesh. But, oh my, what it tells us about God. What it tells us about how He cares for each one. Every person. So what did God do for him there? What did God do for Elijah? Chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Took care of him. Fed him two times.
Executed Jezebel.
Well, he did that too. David. Remember Saul? What did David do when he was around Saul? Took off and running. Ah, but let's not get away. And I'm jumping ahead of myself here. I want to find that scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Let's go there and somebody read. verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 30. Yes.
Uh-huh. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God.
Woo! There it is. When you're facing trouble, trials, indecisiveness, anxiety, why not find your strength in the Lord? I don't know about you. I told my sister, quit calling me this week. She's been calling me about my brother. You know, she's been calling me about, well, who else is she calling me about? Paul and John Paul, his son, but and Melissa, and then there was somebody else too, I think. I said, quit calling me and telling me the family's in trouble. She says, well, I know you're going to pray, brother.
Amen.
I said, well, I will. Call with good news. That was this past week.
Amen.
So there's a good verse for us. Write it down. That's a good one to remember. Remember. Hold on to it. 24/7, right? One-stop shopping. The Word of God. He is my help. He's my shield. He's my buckler. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, can we just pray for a moment? Because one of the things I wanted to do was really to thank God this morning in prayer. So bow with me. Let's just thank Him for a moment. Father, just want to thank You for what we have in You, in Jesus. The blessings that are ours. We may not have everything, but God, the things that we do have just abound and radiate with Your love, Your affection, Your grace, Your goodness, Your mercy. Speak to our hearts, Jesus, and thank You. Amen. All right, let me read on here. If you give up when trouble comes, it shows that you are weak. Save those who are being led to their death. Rescue those who are about to be killed. If you say, we don't know anything about this, God, who knows what's in your mind, will notice. He is watching you, and He will know. He will reward each person for what he has done. That's the New Century Version. Now, Proverbs 24, out of the Message. If you fall to pieces in a crisis... What's that song? I fall to pieces. They do that a lot in Nashville, I think. They sing that song. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Rescue the perishing. Lynn, that's another song.
Amen.
Rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. If you say, hey, that's none of my business, will that get you off the hook? Someone is watching you closely, you know. Someone not impressed with weak excuses. That's why I shared that with you. It's just so good as we look at God's Word. So verse 10, and with this book, it put 10 on the... It put verse 11 first, and I've been falling for that trap all week. And I reminded myself this morning, no, 10 is on the next page, 11's verse. But I said, I'm not going that way. I'm starting with 10, then into 11 and 12, and they've got me every time, as they did here a while ago, because I was looking, when we were looking at verse 10, I'm thinking, where is verse 10? I'm going to go, and it's on the other page. So, verse 10 here, here's a few things about verse 10. It's trouble that comes to a person. Verses 11 and 12 is trouble that comes to others. In verse 10, you know, we've already read it several times, but one test of a person's worth is how he behaves under pressure. If he gives up when the going is rough, then he doesn't have what it takes. And we've already talked about Elijah and David, and those are where I was going to stick those in. They just seemed appropriate. Verse 11 and 12, men and women are dying without Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John 4:35? Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Can we remain neutral? Remember last week we said at the close of Joshua, the end of the book there, Joshua gave his final message, and we really said it was an invitation to the people to make a decision for God now, not to hesitate, not to wait, No neutrality. No room for that. You can't ride the middle of the fence. God tells us that. Book of Revelation tells us that. I'll just spew you out. I'll spit you out. Don't straddle the fence. Don't pretend to be good or pretend to be bad. Make a decision. Live that way. Hopefully we'll make the right decision. Then good old Ironside. I found this that he had written that I thought I wanted to share. To selfishly withhold information that could save the condemned man's life would be to stand with Cain and ask. And this really spoke to me. Am I my brother's keeper? How many times have we said that to God? Those people aren't my concern. And we're just like Cain. Genesis 4:9. Am I my brother's keeper? The ground did what? What did the ground do there? It cried out, didn't it? Because the blood was saturated into the ground, and the ground cried out to God. Am I my brother's keeper? Ironside. What a legacy. What a watermark. What can be said of Christians who know millions are passing on to eternal sorrow, yet scarcely ever make known God's message of justification through the Lord Jesus Christ? One of our words today was social justice. One of our doctrines. We should work to provide for the orphan, the needy, the abused, the aged, the helpless, and the sick. Today's session challenges us to be advocates. It's one of the key words out of the text today, is to be an advocate. What do we mean by that word, advocate?
Advocate for righteousness?
Well, that's good. Yeah. What do we mean by advocate? Stand aside, okay? Because with Jesus, we what? With Jesus, we have an advocate, right? Yeah, yes. So, believers must promote social justice, knowing that all people reflect God's image and that God values every person regardless of any physical limitation. It made me think of some of the kids I've known back in school, the kids that had polio, or the kids that were different from everybody else. How did we treat them? I'll never forget a class I had, abnormal psychology. And my professor was abnormal. He was a hunchback. He really was. Oh, gosh, he could teach, though. Yeah, scoliosis. And he really taught. He could really teach. I never saw the deformity. I saw only the goodness of the man.
Amen.
And I was inspired and motivated. And on every page, I found myself, my goodness, I'm abnormal. He finally told us in class when he saw our faces one day, he said, "You're not really abnormal because you're here in this class. People who are abnormal wouldn't be here." It was like, whew. So I'm not a schizoid or a paranoid or, all right. Remember this too? This really got my heart. I heard Glenn Beck on the radio this past week, and I listened to him every once in a while, but I didn't like what he said. He said he doesn't like these people. They were talking about movies, and he didn't like this God is not dead because he didn't like people just pandering to Jesus. You got to get Jesus. You got to get Jesus. You got to get Christ. And I thought, you're kidding. Because Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world," in Mark 16, verse 15, "and preach the gospel to every creature." How many centuries ago was that? Well, when Ironside said that, it just knocked my feet off. How many centuries? I mean, we're like 20 centuries later from that first century when Jesus said that at the start of the first century. And what are we doing today? We're so richly blessed, and yet there's such a thing as lethargy, sluggishness, indifference, apathy, insensitivity. You know, we're going to have to answer to God. And these verses in Proverbs tell us that, yeah, we will have to answer. And oh, yes, I would write down Ezekiel 33. And go read that later. Little homework assignment. Ezekiel 33. Remember the watchman? Ezekiel was a watchman. Read what that says there in Ezekiel 33. Relation to our text today. and what we're talking about, because that's important. All right, let's move on into Mark real quick here and wrap him up. And I'm glad I don't have a lot of notes on that, but I've got a lot of things to say. Look at this. 46. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. They're leaving Jericho. Remember, there's two Jerichos right there, right now. There's one that King Herod put up. That was his winter home, a palatial place. It would be like, what's that thing called out there in Frisco that Jerry Jones has built? The Star? Yeah, the Star. It'd be like, well, there's the Star right out there in Jericho. But that's a mile away from where Joshua and the Israelites took down Jericho. It's about a few miles away from the Jordan. This, remember we said when we were talking about Jericho, probably the oldest city in the world. It was a key spot where people transferred, moving from one town to the other, and to get to Jerusalem. And Jesus came from Perea, right through Jericho, right through where King Herod had it set up, and right where the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And they're about 17 miles out from Jerusalem. And he's on his way, and there's this guy called Bartimaeus. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." Why would Bartimaeus use the word "son of David"? Let me ask you, why would he say "son of David"? What does he know? What is he trying to tell us?
Because he knows he's the Messiah.
Ah, because Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied that what? Where would the Messiah come? Yeah. From David. So he knew that. So, and he's heard words. And think about this. Now, the Passover, this is the book of Mark. It's fixed to be Jesus' last week. So we know he's going to die on the cross here shortly. And he's moving into Jerusalem where he's going to face those that are going to take his life. And lost my thought there. But Bartimaeus knows this. Got it back. Thank you, Jesus. Think of the multitude of people, not just those that are with Jesus, walking with him. And think about it. Bartimaeus can't see. But he can do what? And how about us? Can we really hear? Do we hear when God's calling us? Oh, man, I remember when God called me and said, "Ron, I love you." And I had to make a decision that night. I don't think I might have had another opportunity. And God said, "Ron, I love you." And I walked out that night. I received him as my Savior, and he came into my life. He forgave me of my sins, cleansed me of all unrighteousness. Here's Bartimaeus knowing this about Jesus, the Nazarene, and all these people. Then you got all the people coming for the Passover. It's Passover time. There's a multitude of people. And guess what else is coming? Animals. That's a poor impression. Oh, I can do that duck. Or goose. Anybody do a better job than that? All right. Let's move on here. Verse 48. Many people told him, I love this. Many people told him to keep quiet. We'll be done soon. I know I'm going over time here. Hold on. Many. We could go into overtime tonight, so hey, get over it. Many people told him to keep quiet. Isn't that what a lot of people do? Oh, Ron, just be quiet. Don't say nothing. Oh, don't bring it up. Don't talk about Jesus. Oh, whatever you do, don't talk about the Lord. Right? It'll offend somebody. That's what Glenn Beck was saying the other day. Well, these people that come out there, I'm thankful. I know people like that. I wish I could be bold like that. I mean, Mary and I know a friend, several people who, I mean, literally, we're standing in line, they're standing there talking about Jesus. They're sharing the gospel. Now, I can't do that. It's hard for me to infringe on somebody's territory without being welcome. But I do it. But look what he said. But he was crying out all the more, "Bless you. Bless you, Bartimaeus." Can you imagine? "Have mercy on me, son of David." Look what it says there. Jesus stopped. How do you get Jesus to stop? Whew. Oh, that's powerful there to me.
He hit the bullseye.
He hit the bullseye. Jesus stopped. What did it say in one of the other scripture passages here? Jesus did what? Stood still, I think it said. Anybody else got it saying that? He stood still. Can you imagine getting Jesus? Here's this throng, this multitude. They're on their way, and all of a sudden, Jesus just stops. Called him. And they called the blind man, and he said to him, "Boy, have courage. Get up. He's calling for you." Now, these are the same ones that told him a moment ago, "Hey, just be quiet." Now, because Jesus... Oh, here's a real key, too. If we're going to be advocates, if we're going to do the Lord's work, if we're going to show perseverance and persistence like which is being given to us here, and even have expectation, if we're going to have all that put together, then kind of what we were talking about earlier in Proverbs back there, we've got it wrong. We look to our leaders as if we're to serve them. We bow down to our leaders. We serve our leaders. God says the real leaders are the ones who serve others. So when you want a real leader, look for the ones who are serving. Look for the ones who are serving and doing what Jesus did. Jesus wasn't the leader who threw accolades at him and they did everything. "What can I do for you, Lord? Here, let me shine your shoes. Let me get your suit pressed." Jesus went on and on. And think about this. Here's a lost man. Here's one man. Jesus would leave the 99 and go after the what? I can't help but think of that here too. Here's the one. And he's crying out. And he's crying out for help. Who's he crying out to? The people around him? He knows he's in the right spot. He knows he's where he needs to be. Jesus stopped and called him. So they called the blind man and said to him, "Well, have courage, get up. He's calling for you." I think he already did have courage. But let's read on. Somebody, let me go there real quick. Where are we? Mark 10. All right, let me go there. Because those last few verses are very good too. And then we'll be done. And I got the ESV here. Verse 50. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Oh, you know, we can stop there. He took off his outer coat. That's expensive. That's something a blind man, how's he going to find it again? Somebody else might pick it up. "Hey, look at this. Look what we found on the highway." Have you ever been traveling on the road and somebody stopping because they saw something on the road? "I'm going to stop and get that. Look at that. There's a mattress. There's a chair. There's a box. I'm going to stop and get that." You ever seen that? I have. I've been out stopping for. I've got turtles to bring home for my kids. Stop and get turtles. And they're sitting in the back seat doing something. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. That's so important. He didn't want anything to hinder him. What hinders us getting to Christ? This is so important. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Well, Rabbi, let me recover my sight." That word, "What do you want me to do for you?" The very first words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 1. Look it up. Yours may not say it exactly like that, but basically it says the same thing here. "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, this man began following Jesus when he got his eyesight. What are we doing today about sharing Christ? It's so important. Here's somebody who found Jesus and found life. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this scripture passage. Lord, we have so much to learn, but God, we can be so thankful because you give us so much. We are so blessed. We're at a wonderful church, Lord, that you have anointed. We're seeing people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're seeing visitors become members. We're seeing, God, you work in our hearts and our lives, and we're seeing people in this classroom serving. doing wonderful things for you. God, help us to keep it up and to keep on keeping on, because we serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ron.